While we were watching football yesterday, America's tax system was also in play. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. After months of closed-door negotiations, we may be getting the first look at the GOP plan for tax reform this week. Details of the plan, developed by the so-called Big Six, White House and congressional negotiators have started to emerge with new numbers on corporate and individual taxes. For more on this, I'm joined live by Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington. Kimberly, let's start with corporate taxes. What are we hearing?
So the Washington Post and a couple of other news outlets are reporting it looks like we're going to see a 20% corporate tax rate. Now, that's different than what the president has been saying all through this process, that he wants 15% on corporate tax rates. And even this weekend, talking to reporters, he said he still wants to see 15%.
Any hints about what individuals might pay?
It looks like, again, we're going off of leaks and news reports here, that there's going to be a compression of tax brackets from 7 tax brackets to 3, a lower tax rate for the top, the wealthiest of individuals. And then there's some talk of limiting state and local tax deductions. Bloomberg is reporting that that's in the plan. And that would impact a lot of those blue states with really high taxes like New York and California.
But let's be clear, you're not looking at a printout of the Trump tax plan at the moment.
No, we haven't seen the official plan yet. We're talking about leaks from the Big Six. We're talking about things that may be trial balloons, where they kind of float ideas out there in the public just to see what the reaction will be. And so, in theory, we're going to get this actual plan later this week.
All right, Kimberly Adams in Washington. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London, down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures all down in the 0.1% range. News that the far right is going to the German parliament after the election is one reason the euro is down below $1.19 today. This morning, the Senate Finance Committee is set to consider the latest Republican effort to repeal and replace the Obama-era health care law. This Graham Cassidy bill would make sweeping changes. It would repeal the expansion of Medicaid. Medicaid, which is now open-ended, would also get upper limits through a system of per capita payments and set amounts of money sent to the states. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
States that enrolled a lot of moderate and low-income people in the exchanges and expanded Medicaid would get significantly less federal funding, according to analysis by the Kaiser Family Foundation, as much as 30% less for New York, Oregon, Vermont, and Connecticut. States that didn't expand Medicaid would get a big boost, with Texas up 75% and Mississippi even higher. Analyst John Goodman worked with Senate Republicans on the bill.
The primary goal is to equalize the funding. So if you're a poor or near poor person, you would have access to the same amount of help from the government, regardless of where you live. Right now, there are 3 states that are getting 37% of all the Obamacare money.
Michael Leachman at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities counters the states that get the most money also have the most people enrolled in government-subsidized health care. He says if the bill passes,
they'd end up cutting Medicaid eligibility and benefits, provider payments.
By 2026, the Kaiser Family Foundation projects Graham Cassidy would reduce overall federal funding to states for health coverage by 8%. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency is working to help after Harvey, Irma, and now Maria. FEMA made big changes after Katrina in New Orleans a dozen years ago. Ellie Yu of WABE in Atlanta visited a FEMA facility there.
A truck backs into a loading dock at the Atlanta Distribution Center. It's full of MREs, or meals ready to eat.
About 21,000, a little over 21,000 meals and 34 pallets.
David Johnson is the distribution center's manager. Since Hurricane Harvey, he says the warehouse has been operating for about 17 hours a day.
We've been pretty much running wide open since the first one started.
The 400,000 square foot warehouse stores supplies like food, blankets, and pet carriers. Johnson says for efficiencies, technology helps. FEMA uses a logistical management system that keeps track of supplies and orders in real time. And each truck that goes out gets a GPS device.
So we can ping that trailer and we know exactly where the commodities are.
A large section in the warehouse is known as the cool room, set at 68 degrees. Johnson says it's big enough to store 2.4 million meals. All of this represents lessons learned from Hurricane Katrina back in 2005, says Claire Connolly Knox. She teaches disaster response at the University of Central Florida.
Severe devastation and the lack of adequate communication led to logistic failures, including shipments being misplaced, food spoiling.
As part of the reforms passed in Congress after Katrina, Knox's FEMA had to get its logistical act together. The Atlanta Distribution Center opened in 2010, and there are others across the country. But warehouse lead Christina Blocker Hurley remembers what it was like before. She's been with FEMA since 1998.
I was here during Katrina, 9/11. I've been through them all.
She says Atlanta's old distribution center was much smaller, with only a couple of loading docks. And now the agency's more proactive in getting supplies out to areas before a storm hits. The center sent out all of its meals and water because of the recent hurricanes and is now working on replenishing its supplies. In Atlanta, I'm Ellie Yu for Marketplace.
And there's a subgenre of news story I like to label interesting ideas out of Australia. Today, Australia is eliminating fees for customers who use someone else's ATM machine. That country's four biggest banks have agreed to this out of the kindness of their hearts. No, the banks are trying to burnish their reputations after a series of customer ripoffs, like some banks stiffed customers on life insurance payouts, some gave out bad financial advice. Australian officials are looking at tighter regulation. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.